Good day, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another episode from MuseTech.net.
It is episode number 9.
Episode number 9, filled with exciting information for you and for everyone. And we haven't actually done an episode in a while, have we?
No, we've been off a little bit.
Yeah, we've been off for a little bit, of summer vacation, a little bit of, fun in the sun and, catching up with work, that type of thing. But my name's Joe Pizzano.
I'm Darren Morton.
And we're going to continue today. And today's a little different for us. We're going away from a different type of broadcast. Instead of just having the amiable Darren Morton and the exciting Joseph Pizzano here, we're going to have a colleague join us. He's phoning in from his vacation.
And a nice one it is.
Special today to talk to us, and his name is Owen Bradley. He's a music educator from down in the lovely sunny state of Florida. He's a director of Northport High School, the director of music at Northport High School, and the chairman of the Performing Arts Academy there. And he's also on the FMEA, which stands for, those of you that don't know what that is, the Florida Music Educators Association Mentoring Committee Chair. That means that he's a mentor.
Ah, yes.
Or he's at least looking for mentors. Well, we're not quite mental, but it's something,
No,
mentor.
I like to think of myself as a mento.
That's right. Well, a momento.
The freshmaker.
Like candy.
That's
yeah. So anyways, today we'd like to welcome Owen. Welcome, Owen. How are you doing today?
Hey, guys. How are you?
We're doing well. And how's the vacation? I hear you might pick up some fishing.
Yeah, looking forward to that tomorrow. Just kind of looking out my window right now at the ocean.
Yeah, we're kind of sitting here looking at a couple sets of speakers, and the air conditioner's not working, and it's about, going on 100 degrees, I think.
Yeah, it's definitely cooler where he's at than where we're at.
Yeah,
so.
Well, at least he's got a beach with that.
So. Amen, better view.
It's very humid outside. Would you make it feel better if I stepped outside?
Yeah, on your cell phone as your mobile. That's exciting.
Yeah.
So anyways, Owen's calling in, and Owen is an expert in many different fields of music education, and today we thought we'd start the podcast off talking about alternate music ensembles. As you know, Darren, the prime ensembles we have in music right now are the choirs, the choruses, the instrumental type programs, and when we usually talk about instrumental, we're talking about the concert bands, the wind ensembles, the trumpets, the trombones, those type of things. And Owen's going to talk a little bit about an alternative to that.
Ooh.
So, Owen, why don't you, off the top of your head, tell us a little bit about what you've been thinking about and what you guys are working on down in Florida?
Okay, we have the traditional model of bands, choirs, orchestras. We have a very healthy program, jazz integrated in the curriculum. I mean, we have top to bottom, what you'd call the classic band or music education model, with all the requisite things that need to be there. And it's very healthy.
Mm-hmm.
We've got, plenty of kids for now. But what we're noticing is, even though our school is growing, we're up at 2,700 kids now, the size of my ensembles, even at a huge school like that, are about the same as they've ever been. And over the past, 18 years or so, when I first started, there weren't that many choices. You had band, you had ROTC, maybe, you had art,
but now
a billion choices. So we're finding that the kids, they have so many choices that they're in middle school, they're looking at high school and saying, I can do anything I want to do, and they're being pulled so many different ways that for music, and especially since they get these nifty computers and find all these things that they can do with the computer, they're just not willing to put in the time and discipline.
That's interesting that you talk about time and discipline with that. I know I find myself, and I tell these students all the time, that the only way you're going to get better at something is to focus on it and to practice it. And when you have a number of distractions, distractions could be computers, as you said, or just being involved in multiple athletic-type things, in inclusion of student government, those type of things, everything gets a piece of your intention. And you become a master of nothing, and in most cases, not even an adequate at everything that you're doing, sub-adequate with those things, and it certainly takes away from the music programs.
Right, exactly, and that's what we're finding. So we figured that it's time for, there's room in the curriculum for things that the kids are interested in, most notably electronic music. We started electronic music last year with, we use Reason, teaching them how to create their own sounds. And we try to stay away from the loop-based things because
sure.
That's what they think creating music is.
Oh, isn't that awful, like Acid Pro, just loop it up.
Right, yeah. And they think that they've created that. We're saying, no, that's not creating music. That's using something, and you're pasting, cutting and pasting other people's ideas.
What do you hope to do with some of these alternate music ensembles? You talk about having an electronic ensemble. What's your vision for what that might be?
We're talking about next year having a synthesized ensemble. So a bunch of kids sitting with being responsible for, in the traditional sense, just like a band or orchestra, being responsible for their part, but not on a traditional instrument, on a software instrument or synthesizer or keyboard or whatever, so that they don't have to worry about the tone production aspect of it. These are non-traditional musicians. These are kids that we're gonna take out of the equation all of the tone production and technique aspects of it, and just focus on creating the music.
So what does that leave the students with? What type of experience? If you're pulling out the tone production and that type of things, what are you hoping to get the students to experience with music?
They need to understand how music is formed. One of the most interesting projects that we did last year was the teacher that was teaching the class on electronic music brought me in to talk about notation, standard notation. And these are kids who, you know, they're all in... They all play electric guitar or, you know, drums or whatever, but they never studied formal music notation. So I did a little thing on, well, this is what a quarter note is, and this is what it means, and this is what a time signature is, and all that sort of stuff. And they were fascinated because you know they had some of that in elementary
grade school,
but they
hadn't
gotten to the in-depth study. So we were talking about how do they get what they're doing. So that somebody else can recreate what they're doing. See, if they create a song, then how are they going to notate it or put it as a record so that, you know, somebody across the world could look at what they did and recreate it? And you know, we got into that discussion.
Pretty interesting stuff. Has it been a good response? Obviously enough to start a class for that.
Yeah, we're actually turning kids away. I mean, we opened one section. We had to open another section. We could have opened 5 or 6 sections of it.
What size of the class are you looking at?
About 35 is the max that we can handle.
That's a lot.
Beating down the doors for it, because they all think they're going to be the next, superstar,
sure,
undiscovered, you know, because I'm just going to put my stuff out there. And they don't understand, not the first iota of music rights and copyright and, you know, that kind of stuff and the business side of it. So we decided, the other teacher who's teaching it, Kevin Brislin, who's he's a musician in his own right, does a lot of things on the internet, and he didn't have any real formal training, but has, oddly enough, is certified in music. He's kind of self-taught, and he's an electronic musician, and he and I had, you know, deep conversations about this topic and where to go with it. So,
now, Owen, you're talking at the high school level with these programs. Do you see a way to convert these type of programs into more of a gateway? I can think of when I was in 5th and 6th grade, the music class. You'd sit around in a circle and they'd hand out the sticks, and they'd teach some rhythms, and, you know, hit, pass the stick, that sort of thing over and over. With the emphasis on computers in the classroom nowadays, in the young age, kids are being introduced to the computer. Do you see maybe a potential at the 4th or 5th grade level to introduce kids to this type of a program, obviously scaled back to their intellectual level at that point, but maybe introduce them to how music can be compiled and put together in hopes of getting a kid interested in playing a musical instrument?
Yeah, I think some of that's already in place. You know, the Yamaha keyboards, I can't remember what their music and education, their little half keyboards that they use. They've got quite a few of those in Florida, you know, and there's a lot of creative teachers that are using programs like GarageBand or iMovie or whatever, you know, in their classrooms. And music teachers are using, you know, synthesizers or whatever and different technology things, and they're whetting the kids' appetites. And then the kids are, like I said, they're going home, and they're instantly exposed to all this stuff. But see, the difference is, to me, if they call up a violin sound, they actually sound like a violin, not like a dying cat when they first, you know, came across.
Linear algorithms of the 80s. Remember that? LA synthesis?
Yes.
You know, that's an interesting point too. One of the things that is really come into its own right now is what you're talking about, these PCM sounds that are built into these things, and the violin sounds like a violin. And Finale 2008 just came out, and of course, with some of the earlier versions of it, it has something called this Gariton Sounds. And basically what it is a audio library of real sounds. And when you compose this together on programs like Finale, which is a music composition program, you can substitute in these real sounds for your MIDI data. So the MIDI data actually triggers a sample of a real sound that comes through, and it's unbelievably real.
Studio musicians nowadays are making money on the side by recording sounds.
Samples.
Yeah, samples.
Samples.
Yeah, samples of, who can afford to have a session drummer with a, $25,000kit in a professional studio.
Yep.
Well, if you have a session drummer with that kind of access, well, you can record five different types of snare hits and whatever else and release those sounds for use in electronic music production.
Band in a Box, one of my favorite all-time programs for creation and for dealing with practicing and for exposing things now, has exactly what you just said, Darren. It has, instead of having MIDI drums, now what they're doing is they found that one of the things that don't sound the best is the feel of a real live driver drummer putting in his licks and playing in some fills. So what they've done with the new versions is they've included real drum tracks from real drummers, loops as it were. But you can tag them together for popular music, which is an alternative music ensemble in the world of music education, is it not?
Yes.
We talk about popular music in today's music. You're not talking about the wind ensembles and the symphonies in popular music. You're talking about garage bands, those type of things. That's pop culture, and that's something that's been alienated from formal music instruction since the times of Mozart.
Do you think maybe because of the fact that the music educators, say, going back 20 years, did not embrace the technology, do you think we've created such a gap at this point between what kids are capable of doing and actually learning an instrument? Owen, do you think you can ever rejoin the two back together?
Yeah, you can, and we've got to start with the kids that are coming out of college. We've got to start retraining the kids about what music education is. It's music education, not band and orchestra.
Mm.
Okay? Now, the band and orchestra is always going to have the place there because you can't, in my opinion, I may be, old school or whatever, but there are certain things that you get from being a band and orchestra and choir that you can't get anywhere else. The teamwork, the perseverance, the practicing, the honing of the skills that you won't get anywhere else, and there's always going to be a place for that. But there's 80%, I can't remember what the figure was, but we did a study in Florida about we're not reaching like 85% of the kids that are walking around the hallway.
85%, think about that.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay, so the way to reach them, they don't want to, especially in high school, they don't want to start in beginning band and play Go Tell Aunt Rhody.
Mm-hmm.
Just don't want to do it.
Go Tell Aunt Rhody,
the way to
reach
them is to reach them in the medium that they're comfortable in. And there's a whole vast untapped resource there that we can, just like what we did with jazz in
the 70s and 80s, right?
Right. Jazz institutionalized it, and then we had, Wynton Marsalis really saved jazz, in my opinion, in the Marsalis family.
Certainly a great advocate, the Marsalis family.
Right.
Certainly.
And in school, we institutionalized it, and we have some kids that are just unbelievable players coming out of school. We can do the same with pop music, I think, if we put our mind to it.
I agree. You know what? That sounds like a topic for our next podcast discussion.
I see a two-parter.
Like out of time. Yeah, let's do a two-parter here. And we'll pick up with Owen Bradley, the world premier music technology educator from Florida.
Dun, dun, dun.
And we'll pick up episode two here on the next time. So for now, along with Owen Bradley, I'm Joe Pisano.
I'm Darren Morton.
And we'll see you next time. Good day, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another episode from MuseTech.net.
It is episode number 9.
Episode number 9, filled with exciting information for you and for everyone. And we haven't actually done an episode in a while, have we?
No, we've been off a little bit.
Yeah, we've been off for a little bit, of summer vacation, a little bit of, fun in the sun and, catching up with work, that type of thing. But my name's Joe Pizzano.
I'm Darren Morton.
And we're going to continue today. And today's a little different for us. We're going away from a different type of broadcast. Instead of just having the amiable Darren Morton and the exciting Joseph Pizzano here, we're going to have a colleague join us. He's phoning in from his vacation.
And a nice one it is.
Special today to talk to us, and his name is Owen Bradley. He's a music educator from down in the lovely sunny state of Florida. He's a director of Northport High School, the director of music at Northport High School, and the chairman of the Performing Arts Academy there. And he's also on the FMEA, which stands for, those of you that don't know what that is the Florida Music Educators Association Mentoring Committee Chair. That means that he's a mentor.
Ah, yes.
Or he's at least looking for mentors. Well, we're not quite mental, but it's something, mentor.
I like to think of myself as a mento.
That's right. Well, a momento.
The fresh maker.
Like a little candy. That's right. So anyways, today we'd like to welcome Owen. Welcome, Owen. How are you doing today?
Hey, guys. How are you?
Yeah, we're doing well. And how's the vacation? I hear you might pick up some fishing.
Yeah, looking forward to that tomorrow. Just kind of looking out my window right now at the ocean.
Yeah, we're kind of sitting here looking at a couple sets of speakers, and the air conditioner's not working, and it's about, going on 100 degrees, I think.
Yeah, it's definitely cooler where he's at than where we're at.
Yeah,
so.
Well, at least he's got a beach with that. So.
Amen, better view.
It's very humid outside. Would you make it feel better if I stepped outside?
On your cell phone as your mobile. That's exciting.
Yeah.
So anyways, Owen's calling in, and Owen is an expert in many different fields of music education, and today we thought we'd start the podcast off talking about alternate music ensembles. As you know, Darren, the prime ensembles we have in music right now are the choirs, the choruses, the instrumental type programs. And when we usually talk about instrumental, we're talking about the concert bands, the wind ensembles, the trumpets, the trombones, those type of things. And Owen's going to talk a little bit about an alternative to that.
Ooh.
So, Owen, why don't you, off the top of your head, tell us a little bit about what you've been thinking about and what you guys are working on down in Florida.
Okay, we have the traditional model of bands, choirs, orchestras. We have a very healthy program, jazz integrated in the curriculum. I mean, we have top to bottom, what you call the classic band or music education model, with all the requisite things that need to be there, and it's very healthy.
Mm-hmm.
We've got plenty of kids for now, but what we're noticing is even though our school is growing, we're up at 2,700 kids now. The size of my ensembles, even at a huge school like that, are about the same as they've ever been. And over the past 18 years or so, when I first started, there weren't that many choices. You had band, you had ROTC, maybe you had art,
right.
A billion choices. So we're trying to, the kids are, we're finding that the kids, they have so many choices that they're in middle school, they're looking at high school and saying, I can do anything I want to do, and they're being pulled so many different ways that for music, and especially since they get these nifty computers and find all these things that they can do with the computer. They're just not willing to put in the time and discipline.
That's interesting that you talk about time and discipline with that. I know I find myself, and I tell these students all the time, that the only way you're going to get better at something is to focus on it and to practice it. And when you have a number of distractions, distractions could be computers, as you said, or just being involved in multiple athletic-type things in inclusion of student government, those type of things, everything gets a piece of your intention. And you become a master of nothing, and in most cases, not even an adequate at everything that you're doing, sub-adequate with those things, and it certainly takes away from the music programs.
Right, exactly, and that's what we're finding. So we figured that it's time for, there's room in the curriculum for things that the kids are interested in, most notably electronic music. We started electronic music last year with, we use Reason, teaching them how to create their own sounds. And we try to stay away from the loop-based things because
True.
That's what they think creating music is.
Oh, isn't that awful? Like Acid Pro, just loop it up.
Right, yeah. And they think that they've created that. We're saying, no, that's not creating music. That's using something, and you're cutting and pasting other people's ideas.
What do you hope to do with some of these alternate music ensembles? You talk about having an electronic ensemble. What's your vision for what that might be?
We're talking about next year having a synthesized ensemble. So a bunch of kids sitting with being responsible for, in the traditional sense, just like a band or orchestra, being responsible for their part, but not on a traditional instrument, on a software instrument or a synthesizer or keyboard or whatever, so that they don't have to worry about the tone production aspect of it. These are non-traditional musicians. These are kids that are we're gonna take out of the equation all of the tone production and technique aspects of it, and just focus on creating the music.
So what does that leave the students with? What type of experience? If you're pulling out the tone production and that type of things, what are you hoping to get the students to experience with music?
They need to understand how music is formed. One of the most interesting projects that we did last year was the teacher that was teaching the class on electronic music brought me in to talk about notation, standard notation. And these are kids who, they're all in... They all play electric guitar or drums or whatever, but they never studied formal music notation. So I did a little thing on, this is what a quarter note is, and this is what it means, and this is what a time signature is, and all that sort of stuff. And they were fascinated because they had some of that in elementary
grade school,
but they hadn't gotten to the in-depth study. So we were talking about how do they get what they're doing. So that somebody else can recreate what they're doing. See, if they create a song, then how are they going to notate it or put it as a record so that somebody across the world could look at what they did and recreate it? And we got into that discussion.
Pretty interesting stuff. Has it been a good response? Obviously enough to start a class for that.
Yeah, we're actually turning kids away. I mean, we opened one section. We had to open another section. We could have opened 5 or 6 sections of it.
What size of the class are you looking at?
About 35 is the max that we can handle.
That's a lot.
Beating down the doors for it, because they all think they're going to be the next, superstar,
sure,
undiscovered, because I'm just going to put my stuff out there. And they don't understand, not the first iota of music rights and copyright and that kind of stuff, and the business side of it. So we decided, the other teacher who's teaching it, Kevin Brislin, who's he's a musician in his own right, does a lot of things on the internet, and he didn't have any real formal training, but has, oddly enough, is certified in music. He's kind of self-taught, and he's an electronic musician, and he and I had deep conversations about this topic and where to go with it. So,
now, Owen, you're talking at the high school level with these programs. Do you see a way to convert these type of programs into more of a gateway? I can think of when I was in 5th and 6th grade, the music class. You'd sit around in a circle and they'd hand out the sticks, and they'd teach some rhythms, and hit, pass the stick, that sort of thing over and over. With the emphasis on computers in the classroom nowadays, in the young age, kids are being introduced to the computer. Do you see maybe a potential at the 4th or 5th grade level to introduce kids to this type of a program, obviously scaled back to their intellectual level at that point, but maybe introduce them to how music can be compiled and put together in hopes of getting a kid interested in playing a musical instrument?
Yeah, I think some of that's already in place. The Yamaha keyboards, can't remember what they're, Music and Education, they're little half keyboards that they use. They've got quite a few of those in Florida, and there's a lot of creative teachers that are using programs like GarageBand or iMovie or whatever, in their classrooms. And music teachers are using, synthesizers or whatever and different technology things, and they're whetting the kids' appetites. And then the kids are, like I said, they're going home, and they're instantly exposed to all this stuff. But see, the difference is, to me, if they call up a violin sound, they actually sound like a violin, not like a dying cat when they first, came across.
Linear algorithms of the 80s. Remember that? L.A. Synthesis?
Yes.
You know, that's an interesting point too. One of the things that that is really come into its own right now is what you're talking about, these PCM sounds that are built into these things, and the violin sounds like a violin. And Finale 2008 just came out, and of course, with some of the earlier versions of it, it has something called this Gariton Sounds. And basically what it is a audio library of real sounds. And when you compose this together on programs like Finale, which is a music composition program, you can substitute in these real sounds for your MIDI data. So the MIDI data actually triggers a sample of a real sound that comes through, and it's unbelievably real.
Studio musicians nowadays are making money on the side by recording sounds.
Samples.
Yeah, samples.
Samples.
Yeah, samples of, who can afford to have a session drummer with a, $25,000 kit in a professional studio.
Yep.
Well, if you have a session drummer with that kind of access, well, you can record five different types of snare hits and whatever else and release those sounds for use in electronic music production.
Band in a Box, one of my favorite all-time programs for creation and for dealing with practicing and for exposing things now, has exactly what you just said, Darren. It has, instead of having MIDI drums, now what they're doing is they found that one of the things that don't sound the best is is the feel of a real live driver drummer putting in his licks and playing in some fills. So what they've done with the new versions is they've included real drum tracks from real drummers, loops as it were. But you can tag them together for popular music, which is an alternative music ensemble in the world of music education, is it not?
Yes.
We talk about popular music in today's music. You're not talking about the wind ensembles and the symphonies in popular music. You're talking about garage bands, those type of things. That's pop culture, and that's something that's been alienated from formal music instruction since the times of Mozart.
Do you think maybe because of the fact that the music educators, say, going back 20 years, did not embrace the technology, do you think we've created such a gap at this point between what kids are capable of doing and actually learning an instrument? Owen, do you think you can ever rejoin the two back together?
Yeah, you can, and we've got to start with the kids that are coming out of college. We've got to start retraining the kids about what music education is. It's music education, not band and orchestra. Okay. Now the band and orchestra is always going to have the place there because you can't, in my opinion, I may be old school or whatever, but there's certain things that you get from being a band and orchestra and choir that you can't get anywhere else. The teamwork, the perseverance, the practicing, the honing of the skills that you won't get anywhere else. And there's always going to be a place for that. But there's 80%, I can't remember what the figure was, but we did a study in Florida about we're not reaching like 85% of the kids that are walking around the hallway.
85%, think about that.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay, so the way to reach them, they don't want to, especially in high school, they don't want to start in beginning band and play Go Tell Aunt Rhody. Just don't want to do it.
Go Tell Aunt Rhody,
so the way to reach them
is
to reach them in the medium that they're comfortable in. And there's a whole vast untapped resource there that we can, just like what we did with jazz in
the 70s and 80s, right?
Right. Jazz institutionalized it, and then we had, Wynton Marsalis really saved jazz, in my opinion, in the Marsalis family.
Certainly a great advocate, the Marsalis family.
Right.
Certainly.
And in school, we institutionalized it, and we have some kids that are just unbelievable players coming out of school. We can do the same with pop music, I think, if we put our mind to it.
I agree. You know what? That sounds like a topic for our next podcast discussion.
I see a two-parter.
We're running out of time. Yeah, let's do a two-parter here. And we'll pick up with Owen Bradley, the world premier music technology educator from Florida.
Dun, dun, dun.
And we'll pick up episode two here on the next time. So for now, along with Owen Bradley, I'm Joe Pisano.
I'm Darren Morton.
And we'll see you next time.